Now we on now? Yeah. I'll tell you what, that was pretty out there, wasn't it? I called my granddaughter. It's snowing, Papa. Oh, she just loves that stuff, you know. She thinks, you know, jingle bells and all that when she sees snowflakes. But I didn't get my 30 miles in because it was raining this morning. I tell you what, I don't run in the rain. Cold rain, not a good place to run. But I did my P90X. Ever heard of P90X? Yeah, man. Yeah. Tony Horton, I think, is his name. But he has a real good exercise program. I busted that up today, so. Got my physical fitness in anyways, right? Remember, we gotta keep doing something, right? Is everybody doing something? Getting ready for the holidays? All those sweet things yelling at you? You know, saying, come and get some of this? You know, that stuff, boy, you can put on some weight quick, can't you? Have y'all noticed that as you get older? I tell you what, I just notice it. I don't want to go there. I'm keep playing the movie, you know. That's vision, you know. See, what am I going to look like 10 years from now, you know. That's significant. That's important. Let's see. What was I going to... Oh, you know what I did too? I wanted to share this. Well, I got a juicer. Has anybody ever done that? I started juicing. And it's kind of, you know, it's a lot of work because of the cleaning it up. But, you know, I'm kind of taking it on like a hobby. Because I like it so much. That juice is good. You ever taste that? I mean, when you know, like beets and stuff. To try to, you know, just something good and solid. It's very nutritious. You know, when you run 30 miles a week, you got to do something. You got to put something back in there. You know, because McDonald's, that stuff doesn't have anything on it. There's no nutrients and, you know, vitamins in there. You got to get something back in there. Because, well, you just get all sluggish if you don't, you know. Even the Holy Spirit's not enough for that. Body, mind, soul, and spirit, right? People think, well, I'll just go on the Holy Ghost. Uh-uh, you better be doing something in that body. Right? Really? You got to do something in that body. It's three. We're made up of three parts. And we got to be working on all of them. That's why I share this stuff with you. I'm just trying to provoke you a little and move you a little and encourage you a little. Right? Okay. What have we been talking about? Vision, right? And we've been talking about prayer and humility. So we're going to kind of stay in that idea of prayer and humility. Remember, in order to bring heaven to earth, we're going to have to have a steady regiment of prayer, right? Daily. I mean, because prayer, without prayer, you're not going to bring the kingdom of God to earth. So through God's word and prayer and humility, we can bring heaven to earth. Remember, what's humility? Humility is what? It's the word humus, the Hebrew word humus, and the word humus means earthy. Earthy means real. So when we're humble, we're down to earth, and we're becoming real. So it's important. That's why we're drawn to people who are down to earth. I repeat this because I just love it. Because the number one reason why young people won't attend church is because of hypocrisy. People are not being real. But where the people of God are really humble and truly seeking God, they're becoming real. And young people want to be there. But it takes prayer. It takes our being. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, right? Humus. Get down to earth. Become real, right? God gives grace to the humble. It's the only way you're going to know the real you is when you decide to get humble, right? And depend on God about it. And so that's the idea. So we've been talking about prayer and humility, and then we went into vision. Vision is, Jesus said, is one of the keys of the kingdom. In Matthew 16, he said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom, not the keys to the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. And one of the keys of the kingdom is vision. Jesus said, you must be born again to see the kingdom. So that speaks of vision. And vision is foresight based on, foresight added to insight based on hindsight. In other words, when you have a truly a godly vision, you won't repeat the past. And you're not going to be caught up in reoccurring destructive behavioral patterns from your parents that have been passed on to you 3 and 4 generations. When you have a true godly vision, because he says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Remember? Proverbs 29:18. And the word perish means what? Without restraints, without self-control, and without what? Discipline. So there's no discipline, there's no self-control, and there's no restraints where there's no truly a true godly vision. But where there is a God vision, it brings restraints, it brings self-control, and it brings discipline in our life. And it's in us, right? Because Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. You can't see it here or there. It's in you. So it's in us. That's where we need the discipline, right? I always like to recap on that because I just think that is significant and important. And I did that on last week's message, and we are getting on the radio, and they cut all that off. I didn't want them to cut that off. But the week before was on there, but it's going to be on there. So you're going to be able to listen to our services on the radio, 105.5 WMVR. Isn't that exciting? I'm excited. That's part of the vision, right? Building people. That's part of our vision here. Preaching the gospel, right? Setting the oppressed free. That's all about our vision. And so, 11:30 Sunday morning, you'll hear us on 105.5. It's a secular station. I like that. I like that even more. I would rather be on a secular station than a religious station. If you don't agree with that, we'll talk after the service, all right? But I really would. I'm excited about that because that's where we need to be, right? All right. Let's see, what else do we got? Well, we are going to go to Jeremiah. I tell you what, I was so excited to come here tonight. I just got something tonight. I got something for you. Oh, boy. I hope you're ready for this. My. Jeremiah. Oh, boy, this is... I was about to bust at the house just getting ready for all this. Jeremiah chapter 29, and we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 and 12. Are you there? Okay. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me, when you search for me with all of your heart. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this place. Lord, we just thank you for everyone here tonight. Now, Father, we ask that the anointing continues here, that yoke-destroying, burden-lifting power. And, Father, we just pray that your word would be released here tonight, because your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of a soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Your word is living and powerful. Father, we ask that your word imparts life tonight. The life that you have called us to, Father. Father, we thank you that you are advancing your kingdom within us. And Lord, we are becoming all that you're calling us to be, and we are discovering who we are. Father, we thank you for that. May that continue, and may none of us be the same because we've been in your presence. We ask it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay. So, we've been looking at vision, right? And the importance of having a vision and being connected to a vision. Because if you're connected to a truly God-given vision, a heavenly vision, it's going to be authentic. And it's going to be tested for authenticity, right? And all kinds of hell will break loose against that vision to see if it's going to be true. People are going to talk about you. People are going to make up things about you. People are going to accuse you. But if you have a God vision, you will see it and you will get there. And I'm just here to tell you today, amen? That's the way that works. Now look what he says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. The emphasis tonight is on in the first verse. He says, a future and a hope. Everybody say hope. Hope. Hope is the word tonight. Boy, we need some hope, don't we? Boy, there's a lot of negativity out there right now, isn't there? Has anybody been hearing negative talk, negative speech, you know, about the economy, the crisis, and all that's going on in our economy and the new president? And just, it's almost, if you listen to that all the time, you would be without hope, wouldn't you? But you know what? There's a lot of people without hope out there. But folks, we have a future and a hope. And we got hope. Hope. The greatest tragedy in life is not death. The greatest tragedy in life is not death. It's in life to be without hope. That's the greatest tragedy in life, is to be without hope. Hope is the source of motivation. Hope is the fuel for optimism. Hope is the fuel for optimism and persistence. In the midst of pessimists all around you, you can be an optimist with hope. In the midst of pessimists all around you, you can be an optimist because you have hope. Hope gives life to life. Hope is expectation, confidence, and trust. Hope is a confident expectation. A confident expectation. Or a confident expectancy. A confident expectancy. That's what hope is. Now think about this. Hope is the foundation of peace. Hope is the foundation of peace. Hope is the internal source of motivation. Hope is the internal source of motivation. Hope is the most important ingredient for the battle against sickness or disease. Let me say that again. Hope is the most important ingredient for the battle against sickness and disease. I was just at a clergy physician breakfast in Dayton this past week. And they do this annually, and all these doctors from all over come, and all these pastors get together, and they have a speaker come in, and they talk about the physical and the spiritual and how they need to work together. Hospitals all over our country have identified the spiritual side of life and that how important that is in the progress and the well-being of someone who's been, you know, had a severe disease or surgery, or the spiritual side has got to be maintained. And that's on the increase. They're really, and they're seeing the power of prayer in these hospitals. But now here's what they say. They were saying that doctors won't even operate on some patients because they have, when they don't have hope, they'll prolong the operation and put off the surgery until they get a hopeful spirit about them, because that adds to their healing and their recovery when they have a hopeful spirit. Doesn't that make sense? Now think about this. Distress, depression, and frustration take away from the medicines prescribed for sickness and disease. Distress, depression, and frustration take away from the medications prescribed for any disease. But if there's hope, the medicine can even work better and faster. They've studied this. They really see this. I'll tell you what now. I was at this. That's why I don't like to miss this. Because it's a conference that I love it. The information I get there is just priceless. And so that's really saying something about our God. Because God, He is a God of hope. He's not a God of faith. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that He's a God of faith. He's a God of hope. Romans 15:13. And now may the God of hope fulfill. Are you with me? The God of hope. He is a God of hope. Think about this. Now, a depressed person, you ever get around a depressed person? I mean, you're having a good day and things are going good, and then somebody's really depressed and they walk in the room, that can affect the whole environment. Have you noticed that? Have you ever noticed that? Or you're at a family gathering and somebody just really depressed walks in, it can affect the whole environment. But hope does the opposite, doesn't it? When you have somebody who's full of hope, boy, it infects the environment as well. The source of hope, now you got to listen. I'm teaching a little bit tonight and preaching, so listen. The source of hope is a reliable promise. Say that with me. The source of hope is a reliable promise. Hope is believing something someone told you that hasn't happened yet. Hope is believing something someone told you that hasn't happened yet. And your belief is based on the reliability of that source of the promise. And your belief is based on the reliability of that source of the promise. Can't get around that, can you? You see, tonight, what we're talking about is another key of the kingdom. And this key is the key of hope. The key of hope. When you understand hope, it's a key that will unlock an unlimited supply of all that God has for you. When you truly understand hope. The key to hope is knowledge of a true promise. The key to hope is knowledge of a true promise. Now get this. Listen. I just love this stuff. It's just when you can just get around it and get a hold of it, it just does something to you that I'm telling you, you can face anything. Are you with me tonight? When you understand this, you can look the devil in the face with confidence and say, "What you got?" Folks, listen, hope, get a hold of this. The Word says the just shall live by faith. The just shall what? Live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says what? We walk by faith and not by sight, right? Without faith, we cannot please God. God says you cannot do business with Him without faith. You cannot do business without Him. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Faith gets its substance from where? Hope. Faith gets its substance from hope. Faith is the substance of hope. Before you can have faith, you must have hope. Before you can have faith, you must have hope. Before you can have hope, you have to have a reliable promise. Hope is the source of faith. And you better get your pens and papers out. You cannot discourage a hopeful spirit. You cannot discourage a hopeful spirit. Hope will move you when nothing else will move you. Hope will get you out of the bed. Hope will cause you to get dressed, all dressed up, and there's clouds and rain pouring down, and brush your teeth and get out and find something to get involved with and help somebody out. Are you with me? Hope will move you when nothing else will move you. When you have hope, you've got something. You've got something. You've got something from heaven when you have hope. Now, go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Oh, I'm about to jump up and down here. Oh, are you guys ready for this? You're not ready. All right. Colossians chapter 1. So what we've been talking about, we've been talking about bringing heaven to earth, right? Heaven to earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the call on the church, right? The church is the ecclesia. The ecclesia is the government of God. The government of God is going to rule within God's people. And that's where the church is, right? The church is not a building. The church is His people, where His people are gathered together, and that government is ruling. Now watch this. Colossians chapter 1. Since we heard, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Now, I'm going to say that again. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because means it's ongoing. Now think about this. So faith and love are because of what? Because of the hope. So faith and love come from hope. Did you get that? Faith and love are dependent on hope. This is what the NIV says. Listen to this. The faith and love that springs from hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth. That's the NIV version of what I just read out of the New King James. Did you hear that? Let me read that one more time. The faith and love that springs from hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about the word of truth. That you've already heard about the word of truth. About what? The hope that's stored up in heaven. It's stored up in heaven. Heaven has some information stored up that provides hope for earth that earth knows nothing about. That's why you can be in a chaotic situation. You can be in a strifeful situation. You can be in a disaster and have joy and act strange because you got hope. People are going to look at you sometimes and think you're strange because you got hope. And it's coming from heaven in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are we making sense? I'll tell you what, this just is just helping me. There's something heaven knows about your future that cannot make your present, that can make your present peaceful. There's something that heaven knows about your future that can make your present peaceful. If you have hope, you can have a good time in a bad situation. Knowing the word of truth, which you heard. You see that? Which you heard. And the word you heard is truth. Where does hope come from? A reliable promise. God's word is reliable, right? It's reliable. And when you get his word on it, now you can have hope. He's the God of hope. Now think about this. When you can act on earth in a strange way because you got information that earth has not yet discovered because of what you heard. Because of what you heard from God. You will act different than other people. That's why don't get caught up in complaining about gas prices and the economic crisis. The kingdom of God is not in an economic crisis. The kingdom of God is not in. There is no economic crisis in the kingdom. When you are operating in the principles of the kingdom, you will be provided for. God is going to take care of his people. Are you with me? Because he's got things stored up in heaven that we haven't even tapped into yet. And that word laid up in verse 5 of Colossians literally means reserved. Reserved. He has things reserved in heaven. Anybody ever make a reservation when you go out to dinner? You make a reservation ahead of time? And you show up and there's this big long line, but because you have a reservation, someone comes out and you just say your name and they come out and get you and you're treated like you're something special. Well, that's the way it is. Hope is laid up, and you're going to be treated like someone special when all hell looks like it's being coming loose on earth. Are you with me? Because it's reserved for you. It's reserved for you. Am I making sense? It's stored up for you, and that's how you bring it back down to earth. And you can offer it to others because others are without hope. Others are without hope. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope. Now may the God of hope. Once I've given my reliable promise, faith springs up in you. Once God's given his reliable promise, faith springs up in us. You see that? Because hope is based on a reliable promise. Right? And once he gives us that promise, faith begins to stir up inside of us. And that's how we overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. But it's rooted in hope. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? Are you connecting with that? You seeing that? Now, hope is the source of faith. Hope is the source of faith. The resurrection. Now, listen to this. Are you all listening? The resurrection of Jesus was the acid test of his faith and his confidence in his Father's promises. Did you hear that? The resurrection of Jesus was the acid test of his faith and his confidence in his Father's promises and all that he claimed. This is just too good. The ultimate test was was when he claimed his ability to come back from the dead. Not the miracles he did. That was not the ultimate test. Because others did miracles. Elijah raised someone from the dead. It wasn't the miracles that Jesus did. It was the fact that he claimed, I'm coming back from the dead. That was the ultimate test and the ultimate word that he brought. Now watch this. I have proof I am the Messiah. He had confidence. Remember, what's self-confidence? Self-confidence is knowing who you are, right? How do we know who we are? We have to humble ourselves. Self-confidence is not pride. Self-confidence is humility when you got it based in God's word and who you are in Christ, right? So that's what self-confidence is. Self-confidence means you've had a conversation with yourself and you agree. In other words, you're speaking God's word over your soul and you're in agreement with that, and that breeds self-confidence. That's why when you go to God in prayer and you have a little talk with Jesus and everything, you wake up or you stand up and everything feels like it's going to be all right. Because you have confidence. Now watch this. Watch this. He had confidence that irritated everybody. You know what, folks? Your confidence in the days ahead is going to irritate people. It's going to make people uncomfortable. Because of everything is the way it's going, but you're walking in confidence, it's going to irritate people. What? I'm here to tell you. You're going to stir up some stuff. Why he had problems, he had major problems in his social circles because of his confidence. Just because he was so confident. People didn't understand it. Now watch this. The same way I have overcome the world, this is what Jesus is saying. The same way I've overcome the world is the same way you are going to overcome the world. With confidence. Now get a hold of this. How can he be so confident in the face of death? How can Jesus be so confident in the face of death? Then having confidence in the face of life should not be a problem. When Jesus can have that kind of confidence in the face of death, then having confidence in the face of life shouldn't be as big an issue in our life. Am I making sense? Because the ultimate threat in our life is death. The ultimate threat is death. And facing of temporary problems should not be near as significant because we have hope. You see this? Because we have hope. In other words, a death to a business, a death to an educational goal, a death to a relationship, a death to a vision. Folks, listen to me. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. He promises life. He promises life. He didn't promise death. He promises life. You see this? So when you have death to a marriage, death to a business, life is coming. If you see the hope in it. Am I making sense? Are you getting this tonight? Why did I get so excited? Folks, this is awesome stuff. Get a hold of this. Go with me now to John chapter 10. I'll tell you what, I was about to bust. Yesterday, the day before, man. John chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 17 and 18. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. Say that. No one takes it from me. Takes what? No one takes what? Life. No one takes the promise of your successful business. No one takes the promise of your fulfilled marriage. No one takes the promise of your relationship. No one can take it from you. Are you with me? Are you hearing this tonight? No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This what? This command. This promise. This promise I have received where? From my Father. That's the promise. That's a reliable promise. Am I making sense tonight? You're not getting it. You got to get the tape. No one can take it from you. Not your dream, not your vision, not your business. Are you with me? If he promised it, no one can take it from you. I give what God already gave me. That's what Jesus is saying. I give what God already gave me, so I can't lose what's already mine. I give what God already gave me, so I can't lose what's already mine. If I lay it down for a while, I know I can take it up again. In other words, you may start a business too soon and something happened and failed, but hey, it's not over yet, right? Maybe your marriage is in trouble. Hey, it's not over yet, right? Maybe your business is really going through some problems, but it's not over yet. Come on now. This is hope. Sometimes your children get into all kinds of difficult problems and way off the path. But folks, you have hope, right? They will get back to the place that you have seen and what God has told you. He has promised. He didn't promise death. He's promised life. Are you with me tonight? Come on now. We got to get a hold of this. Why are you so excited? We are full of hope. We have been sent here to tell the world there's hope. Isn't this exciting? I'm about to bust. It's going to be all right. When you understand this, oh, my goodness, we have so much to be thankful for and hopeful for. Hope is stored up in heaven. It's stored up waiting for you and I to get that key and unlock it and bring some more down. Am I making sense? He says, I got the promise before they even planned to kill me. That's why he had so much confidence. Before they even planned to kill Jesus, before they planned to take your marriage out, before they planned to take your business out, before they, God gave you a promise. Am I making sense? Come on now. Is this making sense? Before your kids got into the position they're in, God's given you a promise. And I'm here to tell you, that's what you're to stand on, and that's where the hope is going to be at. Oh, get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. Others are planning the death of your business, your marriage, your finances, your relationship, but Jesus promised life and having it more abundantly. Life. And that's what my hope is resting in, is his promise, because his promise is reliable. Are you with me tonight? It says in 1 Peter 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again to a living hope through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, and through an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that will never fade away, an inheritance that's reserved in heaven for those who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in these last days. He wants to uncover all that you have as you bring it from heaven, because you have a living hope. Are you with me tonight? Oh, I know I'm preaching, but this makes me want to preach because of all this, what everything all around you. Look at it. Look what we have. Do you see this? Don't look at me like I'm going off the deep end. I have. I'm in the deep. I tell you, you got to get into the deep. I hope this isn't going on the radio. Might scare some folks out there. But folks, listen to me. Do you see this? That's a reliable promise. I tell you, that's why I can get with the Lord and have so much in me. And then I'll drive into a gas station and there's all this negativity. It's like, you know, I can't relate. Are you with me? I just can't connect with that. I just want to start preaching sometimes. And I have before. But it's all good. God is working. God is moving, and He is working all things together for the good. I don't care what you're facing right now. I don't care what you're facing. You have hope. Everybody say, I have hope. Who's doing this psalm? I got one last word. And don't leave until you get it, all right? Because it's significant. Don't we have hope? We do. And it's one of the keys of the kingdom. It's one of the keys of the kingdom. Okay, Fred.